from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Singaporean Foreign Minister meets Indonesian Foreign Minister to discuss the development of bilateral cooperation. Indonesian government is asked to use more landslide detection. And now the news in detail. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi received a visit of Singaporean Foreign Minister Vivian Balakrishnan at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Wednesday, February the 14th. According to Minister Retno Marsudi, during the one-hour meeting, she and her counterpart, Minister Vivian Balakrishnan, talked about the progress of bilateral ties between Indonesia and Singapore since the meeting between Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Singaporean Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong in 2017 was held. I recently received the visit of Singaporean Foreign Minister, and we talked for about an hour. We are actually focusing on the progress we have made in bilateral cooperation between last year's level leaders meeting until now. Minister Retno Marsudi further added that bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and Singapore is a well-measured bilateral cooperation which can be known how much the progress is from time to time. The evaluation was regularly done after the two countries held the head of state or government level meetings. Minister Retno Marsudi revealed there has been significant progress from bilateral cooperation between the two countries. In addition to discussing about bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and Singapore, the meeting of the two foreign ministers also discussed the development of new cooperation in the economic and tourism sectors. Indonesia and Singapore continue to work in developing tourism cooperation and meetings, incentives, conventions, and events or MICE, where they are closely related to each other. There are three cooperation that has been done, that has been developed by both countries, including MICE development, the construction of a marina or cruise ship harbor in Banyuwangi, East Java, and education for cruise ship guides. This was conveyed by the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, after her bilateral meeting with Singaporean Foreign Minister Vivian Balakrishnan at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Jakarta on Wednesday, February the 14th.
Dan kita sekarang sedang mengembangkan juga kerjasama.
Currently, we are developing Pelindo 3 cooperation with one of companies of Singapore for marina in Banyuwangi. There is also cooperation for MICE. So this is very good development, still in the context of tourism, about educational cooperation for cruise liners, and it has also significant progress.
Masih dalam konteks tourism.
Related to the tourism cooperation and development of meetings, incentives, conventions, and events or MICE, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi added that currently there is one of cruise ships from Singapore opened the route from Singapore to Indonesia, precisely Tanjung Perak, Surabaya, which has a special port of yacht, namely Surabaya North Quay. The ship is a Genting Dream Cruise ship owned by Dream Cruise Company. The vessel has officially made regular voyages from Singapore to Surabaya and Bali since December 10, 2017. Indonesia has many areas potentially vulnerable to landslides, especially in highlands and cliff valley areas under which the settlements are located. It was stated by a researcher of Center for Geotechnology Research of Indonesian Institute of Sciences or LIPI, Adrin Tohari, after a media briefing about LIPI output research to prevent landslides at LIPI Media Center in Jakarta on Tuesday, February the 13th. Adrin encouraged the government to explore the research output to prevent the danger of landslide through wireless sensor network for landslide detection or WISLAND.
Selain untuk tanah longsor, itu bisa digunakan untuk
the landslide monitoring equipments are still not widely used in landslide prone areas. Unlike the earthquake, which almost of its prone areas in Indonesia have been completed with seismograph to observe earthquake tremor, while for the landslides, due to the limited cost, only certain areas can be installed new landslide monitoring equipment because there are so many landslide prone areas in Indonesia.
Apakah ada tren yang mengarah kepada membahayakan?
Adrin Tohari asked the government to use LIPI's WISLAND technology more widely so that the early observation technology of landslide disaster can minimize the victims. The 2018 is a political year where the regional head elections will be held. Creative economy observer from Gajah Mada University, Windu Nuryanti, explained, the political year actually becomes the festival of creativity. There will be various small to large-scale stages of creativity. To RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on Wednesday, February 14, she explained, currently and up to 10 years, millennial generation will become the main driver of Indonesian economy. According to her, the millennial generation, or people born in the 1980s to the 2000s, are creative people. In addition, Nuryanti also views that the political year will be fulfilled with various stages that can be seen as a festival of creativity.
Marilah kita lihat secara positif bahwa tahun 2018.
We can see positively that the year 2018 is automatically there will be many creativity stages. If we are able to create political platforms as a creative stage, this is remarkable. The year 2018 is full of optimism, full of hope to appear creative, especially when it is related to millennial generation who are identical with creativity. Windu Nuryanti further hoped the parties that will conduct the campaign can use cultural performances such as the Gamelan Parade or Batik Carnival. She argued the creativity-based campaign needs to be encouraged. To promote the creative economy, she hoped the government will synergize tourism with the creative economy. She pointed out the policy can be done in regulating the use of products and local culture in hotels. This news comes to you over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Iranian embassy in Indonesia held the 39th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution of Iran and the National Day of the Islamic Republic of Iran in Jakarta recently. Minister of Communication and Information Technology Rudi Antara, in his speech, said that Indonesia and Iran have established friendship and socio-cultural relations for a long time. Communities from both countries have been involved in the activities of trade and teaching of Islam. The kinship relationship between the two countries is getting stronger since the establishment of diplomatic relations between the two countries in 1950. In the future, Indonesia and Iran will further explore and strengthen relations between the two countries.
Over the last few years, we also have witnessed high frequency of exchange and visits between high-ranking officials, as well as numerous signing of the documents of cooperation. I am also of the view that the visit of President Hassan Rouhani to Indonesia in 2015 and the visit of President Joko Widodo to Iran in 2016 have renewed both countries' commitment to strengthen and elevate
Minister Rudi Antara further said that Iran and Indonesia should work together in eliminating trade barriers and bringing the business communities of the two countries closer. The implementation of comprehensive joint plans allows both countries to explore cooperation in the energy sector, such as oil and gas, electricity, and renewable energy products. On the same occasion, Iranian Ambassador to Indonesia, Valiola Mohammadi, said the relations between Indonesia and Iran continues to move to a better direction. Both countries have created a relationship for 67 years and will increase in the future. The repatriation of ethnic Rohingyas from Bangladesh to Myanmar is soon to be implemented. To that end, Indonesia offered to assist in the process of the repatriation. Especially now, Myanmar wants to accept Indonesia's offer after previously rejected it because Indonesia approved the resolution issued by the United Nations. This was conveyed by the Indonesian ambassador to Myanmar, Ito Sumardi, to the media on Tuesday, February 13, in Jakarta. Of course, Indonesia hopes this repatriation can run smoothly, safely, and peacefully for the process of their reconciliation. Secondly, Indonesia also certainly offers its contribution in this repatriation where they are willing to accept. At first, they were against it. Maybe they were disappointed when Indonesia, who had been supporting them, suddenly approved the resolution. But we gave reason that we approved the resolution as a friend to make a balance. Ito Sumardi added that in relation to the repatriation process that will be implemented in the near future, possibly the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Republic of Indonesia, Retno Marsudi, or the Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Wiranto, will hold a meeting with Myanmar's leader, Aung San Suu Kyi. In addition to the sanctions imposed by the United Nations, Indonesia also calls that sanctions given to Myanmar to be as objective as possible based on the existing facts. And the last item, Queen Maxima paid a working visit to Indonesia on February 11 to 13, 2018 in her capacity as the United Nations Special Envoy for Inclusive Finance. She held a meeting with Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Puan Maharani, on Tuesday, February 13 in Jakarta. After the meeting, Puan Maharani told the media that Queen Maxima appreciated the financial inclusion in Indonesia. Since her first visit until her current visit to Indonesia, there has been a lot of progress made by Indonesia, where the provision of social assistance to the community has been done in a non-cash program. Minister Puan pointed out that the Coordinating Ministry for Human Development and Culture has distributed Smart Indonesia cards to 19.7 million school children, and they have been distributed through state or non-cash banks. She added that the non-cash assistance of the Family Hope Program have also been distributed to 10 million mothers. In addition, non-cash food assistance to beneficiary families has also been channeled through state-owned banks. Therefore, Queen Maxima appreciated the financial inclusion in Indonesia that has been three times advanced in a not too long period of time.
Ratu Maxima sangat mendukung keuangan inklusi yang ada di Indonesia dan berharap bahwa
Queen Maxima strongly supports the financial inclusion in Indonesia and hopes that in the future Indonesia as a very big country can implement a more systematic and programmed financial inclusion so that by name, by address, access, it can obviously be well received by the beneficiaries. And of course, she appreciated what Indonesia has done with its inclusive finances. So it is hoped in the future financial inclusion in Indonesia will be bigger and can be simpler than now. Puan Maharani further said that Queen Maxima in the meeting also said that the most necessary is the connectivity between the outermost area and the forefront areas of Indonesia, where social assistance is not properly acceptable. According to Queen Maxima, it would be better if the government could approach the people than the people who come to the banks. In the future, the government will provide 47,000 e-warungs where beneficiaries of the Whole Family program can shop online. Queen Maxima last visited Indonesia in 2016. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Singaporean Foreign Minister meets Indonesian Foreign Minister to discuss the development of bilateral cooperation. Indonesian government is asked to use more landslide detection equipment. And listener, that was the news. Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today, entitling The Impact of Mahmoud Abbas' Visit to Russia. The visit of Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas to Russia at this time will probably open up opportunities for further steps to resolve Palestinian-Israel issues. Therefore, whatever the outcome will be, Mahmoud Abbas' visit and his meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin is a new chapter in the Palestinian struggle to defend the country's existence and gain world's recognition through the United Nations. Certainly, in his talks with Vladimir Putin, the Palestinian president will expect an increase in Russia's role in the Palestinian-Israeli issue. It is possible that the Palestinian president will ask Vladimir Putin to be a mediator in the Israeli-Palestinian negotiating process, replacing the role of the United States. It is known that the statement of the U.S. President Donald Trump to move its embassy in Jerusalem, Palestine, countries supporting the Palestinian, has caused rejection on Washington as mediator of the negotiation. On the other hand, Mahmoud Abbas will also utilize his meeting with Putin to call for wider Russian support at the UN to make Palestine become a member of this organization. Until now, in the United Nations, the position of Palestine is merely an observer. Nevertheless, this position is getting stronger, as evidenced by the winning of majority of General Assembly members rejecting the decision of the United States to move its embassy in Jerusalem. The rejections of almost all UN members was made at the recent UN General Assembly session. The question is, will Vladimir Putin accept Mahmoud Abbas' proposal to make Russia become the mediator of the Israeli-Palestinian negotiations? From geopolitical consideration, it is very likely that Russia will meet the demand. Similarly, with the position of Russia in providing support to the Palestinians in the United Nations Forum, Russia may be hoping to step up its role in the Middle East, especially in the political map of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. This role could encourage the improvement of Russia's position in the Middle East region. But it should be kept in mind that Russia, on the other hand, is also one of Israel's important allies. And in politics anywhere, the idiom of "there is no free lunch" still prevails. Therefore, by continuously raising support from Russia, the Palestinians cannot undermine the support of other nations that have obviously supported it since the beginning of the Palestinian struggle. Listener, that was commentary for today. I'm Nuka Kusumawa.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event of the Homeland Defenders Petas Rebellion, which occurred on February 14, 1945. The Homeland Defenders, PETA, was formed by Japanese soldiers in Indonesia in October 1943. They recruited Indonesian youth to be the territorial army to defend Java, Bali, and Sumatra if the Allied forces arrived. Supriyadi, who was one of the first graduates of PETA platoon education in Bogor, furious to see the suffering of people caused by the treatment of Japanese army. People are deployed for forced labor to build fortifications on the beach. Many died of starvation and dysentery without treatment. Seeing the suffering of these people, Supriyadi designed a rebellion. Secret meetings were held since September 1944. Supriyadi planned the action not only as a rebellion, but also a revolution toward the independence of the Indonesian nation. On February 14, 1945, PETA troops in Blitar under the leadership of Supriyadi carried out a rebellion. The revolt was foiled by the Japanese army. 78 officers and PETA warriors from Blitar were eventually arrested and thrown into prison, then betrayed in Jakarta. An event of red and white flag firstly fluttered in Manado, North Sulawesi on February 14, 1946. After the independence of Indonesia, which was proclaimed by Bung Karno and Bung Hatta on August 17, 1945, most of eastern Indonesia was still occupied by invaders. In order to preserve the new independence of the Republic of Indonesia, the nationalists of North Sulawesi gathered all their potential for resistance. Precisely at 100 hours midnight, on February 14, 1946, the North Sulawesi fighters, led by Commander Taulu and Wisan, assisted by Commanders Franz Bismann and Freddy Lumanau, attacked and captured all soldiers, along with the Dutch colonial commanders ranging from Manado, Tomohon up to Tonsea. In the afternoon, the commander of the Dutch India's Legislative Assembly, or the Dutch East India's Army, De Vries, recognized Indonesia's independence and gave up the red-white flag for the first time in North Sulawesi. We end today's segment of Today in History with an event of suicide bombing that took place in Lebanon on February 14, 2005, killed former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri. Rafiq Bahaeddin Hariri is a billionaire businessman and the second Prime Minister of Lebanon before his resignation on October 20, 2004. Hariri became Prime Minister during 1992 to 1998 period and then re-elected from 2000 to 2004. In the 1980s, Hariri entered into the list of 100 richest people worldwide in Forbes magazine. On February 14, 2005, Rafiq Hariri was killed, including 9 others, when about 300 kilograms of explosives were detonated just as his motorcade passed through St. George Hotel in Beirut. Listener, that was Today in History.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to this segment of My Indonesia with the title Indonesia's Manufacturing Value Added Becomes Highest Growth in ASEAN. Indonesia is considered to be the largest manufacturing production base in ASEAN. According to Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto, this is in line with the current government effort to transform the economy to focus on the development of non-oil and gas processing industries. Therefore, the Indonesian industry has shifted from commodity-based industry to manufacturing industry. Minister Erlangga Hartarto, in his written address in Jakarta on Sunday, said the manufacturer becomes an important key to support the national economy since it is more productive and giving widely chain effects. He also said the industry could increase the added value of domestic raw materials, absorb a lot of manpower, generating foreign exchange from export, and the largest contributor of tax and excise. Minister of Industry explained that the growth of manufacturing value added occupies the highest position among ASEAN countries. Indonesia's manufacturing value added growth could reach 4.84%, while in ASEAN it is 4.5%. At the global level, Indonesia is currently ranked 9th in the world. Minister Erlangga said Indonesia's economy is different from other ASEAN countries because currently Indonesia has entered $1 trillion club. Therefore, the government is focusing on the national industrial supply chain approach to be more competitive in domestic, regional, and global level. According to Minister Erlangga, the strength of Indonesia's economy is 80% based on domestic market and the rest are export. This is not the same as Singapore or Vietnam that is almost entirely export-oriented. However, Indonesia's manufacturing industry export opportunities are still widely open, especially to the ASEAN market. A total of 50 Indonesian factories have been operating in Vietnam and Thailand. The potential of national export could be further enhanced primarily through the implementation of the ASEAN Economic Community. Some companies have also opened new markets, such as in Nigeria. The minister added that the government is working to improve some regulations to increase Indonesian export. The Ministry of Industry has proposed to the Ministry of Finance concerning tax revision so that sedan are not included in the luxury vehicle category. In addition, the national automotive manufacturers will increasingly produce sedan types for export market needs. One of the targets is Australia, because many car manufacturers in the country have closed. That was My Indonesia.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi received a visit of Singaporean Foreign Minister Vivian Balakrishnan at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Wednesday, February the 14th. According to Minister Retno Marsudi, during the one-hour meeting, she and her counterpart, Minister Vivian Balakrishnan, talked about the progress of bilateral ties between Indonesia and Singapore since the meeting between Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Singaporean Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong in 2017. Indonesia and Singapore continue to work in developing tourism cooperation and meetings, incentives, conventions, and events or MICE, where they are closely related to each other. There are three cooperation that has been developed by both countries, including MICE development, the construction of a marina or cruise ship harbor in Banyuwangi, East Java, and education for cruise ship guides. Indonesia has many areas potentially vulnerable to landslides, especially in highlands and cliff valley areas under which the settlements are located. It was stated by a researcher of Center for Geotechnology Research of Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, Adrin Tohari, after a media briefing about LIPI's output research to prevent landslides at LIPI Media Center in Jakarta on Tuesday, February the 13th. The 2018 is the political year where the regional head elections will be held. Creative economic observer from Gajah Mada University, Windu Nuryanti, explained, the political year actually becomes the festival of creativity. There will be various small to large-scale stages of creativity. The Iranian embassy in Indonesia held the 39th anniversary of the victory of Islamic Revolution of Iran and the National Day of the Islamic Republic of Iran in Jakarta recently. Minister of Communication and Information Technology Rudiantara, in his speech, said that Indonesia and Iran have established friendship and sociocultural relations for a long time. The repatriation of ethnic Rohingyas from Bangladesh to Myanmar is soon to be implemented. To that end, Indonesia offered to assist in the process of the repatriation, especially now Myanmar wants to accept Indonesia's offer after previously rejected it because Indonesia approved the resolution issued by the United Nations. And the last item, Queen Maxima paid a working visit to Indonesia on 11 to 13 February 2018 in her capacity as the United Nations Special Envoy for Inclusive Finance. And listener, that was Newsin Bri from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of tourism destinations in East Nusa Tenggara province. Stay tuned. Listener, East Nusa Tenggara province is well known with tourism destination. Besides Komodo Island, the beauty of beaches and exotic undersea view becomes tourist destinations. But there are a lot of tourism destinations which are still natural and hidden. One of them is Mata Yangu Waterfall. Listener, Mata Yangu Waterfalls consists of two waterfalls. The first waterfall has height around 75 meters and its water is from river in the cave. The second one will appear when rainy season comes. Its water is from river that is above as high as 130 meters. Just below the waterfall, there is a small pool with amazing blue water, which is used as bathing place. The best time to visit the waterfall is at the time of rainy season or in March until June and October until December. Listener, Mata Yangu Waterfall is located at Manupe National Park. The waterfall itself for local people is a sacred place. The place is often used for worship by Merapu people. They believe that the waterfall is a place where their ancestors lived. In addition, they also believe that in the cave which becomes the water sources, there is ancient tomb which stores historical stuffs. Listener, Mata Yangu Waterfall is located at Wai Manu Village, Katikutana Sub-District, Central Sumba Regency. To go to this place from Kupang, you take around 1 hour by using airplane to Wai Ngapu. Then the trip is continued by using motor vehicle around 2 hours to Wai Kabubak. Arriving at Wai Kabubak, the trip is continued to Manupe National Park and takes around 3 hours. There, you must walk through forest around 1 hour, but your fatigue will disappear after you see the beauty of Mata Yangu Waterfall. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Mata Yangu in East Nusa Tenggara Province. I'm Yuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is cooperation of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is makanan dan minuman, or in English, food and beverage. Stay tuned. Next, it is a conversation about makanan dan minuman, or in English, food and beverage. As usual, I'll say every sentence loudly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Sinta and Tony and stewardess. Tony: Maaf, in English, excuse me. Stewardess: Yeah, in English, sorry. Tony: Boleh saya minta jus jeruk? Boleh saya minta jus jeruk? In English, can I have orange juice? Stewardess: Baik pak, pakai es atau tidak? Baik pak, pakai es atau tidak? In English, alright sir, with ice or not? Tony: Ya, pakai es. Ya, pakai es. Yes, orange juice with ice. Sinta: Oh ya, saya juga. Oh ya, saya juga. Sorry, me too. Stewardess: Baik, sebentar ya. Ini jus jeruk, Pak. Ini jus jeruknya, Pak. In English: Okay, wait a moment. Here is the orange juice, sir. Tony: Terima kasih banyak. Terima kasih banyak. In English: Thank you very much. Stewardess: Kembali. In English: You're welcome. After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. Juice. Juice in English, juice. Jus jeruk. Orange juice. Boleh saya minta jus jeruk? Boleh saya minta jus jeruk? Could you bring me orange juice? Es, ice. Pakai es atau tidak? With ice or not? Teh hangat. Hot tea. Kopi. Coffee. Baik pak. Alright sir. Baik, sebentar ya. Okay, wait a moment. Terima kasih banyak. Thank you very much. Listener, if you want to ask something, you can say boleh saya minta, then follow with something you need. Salah. Then follow with something you need. For example, Tony: Boleh saya minta secangkir teh hangat? Boleh saya minta secangkir teh hangat? In English, can I have a cup of tea? Pramugari or stewardess: Baik, sebentar. Baik, sebentar. In English, okay, wait a moment. Another example, Tony: Boleh saya minta jus jeruk? In English, can I have orange juice? Stewardess: Baik, pak. In English, okay, sir. In a conversation between Tony and stewardess, the stewardess will answer baik, pak. The answer is usually used in the service context between stewardess and the passengers, or from waitress to the guest in restaurant, or from the employee to the employer. But if your friend asks a cup of coffee, boleh saya minta secangkir kopi? In English, can I have a cup of coffee? You can answer ya or boleh. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We also hold monthly quiz with many interesting prizes. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa! Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present some beautiful songs from Numata Music Group. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Raja Jatuh Cinta. Happy listening. The song Raja Jatuh Cinta that you've just listened tells about someone who fall in love. Unfortunately, the idol is not willing to accept the love. However, he doesn't want to give up. The song entitled Raja Jatuh Cinta is one of the leading songs of Numata Band. The band, which was formed in Bandung, consists of three siblings personal, namely Tantra piano player, Mala vocalist and guitarist, and Inu drummer and guitarist. All three siblings since childhood were already familiar with music. Tantra, Mala, and Inu are the children of Teti Kadi, an Indonesian female singer who was famous in the 70s era. The mother's expertise in music was revealed to her children. Then there was formed Numata Music Group. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Penjaga Hati featuring Teti Kadi by Numata Band. Happy listening.
Saat ku tak berdaya menyerah menyusuri hidup, jangan biarkan aku terluka, ku di sini membutuhkanmu.
Masih di sini setia untuk menjagamu.
song brought by Ndumata along with their mother, Teti Kadi, tells the story of someone who's struggling for the love. The struggle is not about to get love, but the struggle to maintain the love. Listener, since it was formed in July 2002, Ndumata has released four albums, namely Dengar in 2004, Ndumata in 2007, Three is One in 2009, and Cerita or The Past of Ndumata 2016. Most of the Ndumata songs theme romance, either about love, happiness, and sadness. But in the single Hidup Ini Indah from the album Cerita, The Best of Ndumata, Ndumata Band presents the theme of life. The lyrics of the song Hidup Ini Indah invites the audience to have more hope in life. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Hidup Ini Indah and Itu Saja by Ndumata Band. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Yakinlah lara akan berlalu karena hidup. Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Kesungguhan hatimu itu saja.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.